Hello, I'm Michelle de Gouveia and I'm here today with Kinga Litinska, the author of India, Same Same But Different, and the laureate of the Arkady Fiddler competition for The Amber Butterfly, a Polish literary award for her debut travel book, China Beyond Belief. Kinga Litinska is a graduate of cultural studies from the American Studies Center in Warsaw, Poland. It's been 12 years that she's been living, working, and traveling around Asia, getting to know its untamed nature and discovering the exotic palette of colors and flavors that have given this diverse continent its identity. As a dreamer and a realist, she chooses her own paths. They might be narrow and slippery, and yet they are mine, she says, proving that what once was merely a dream can really happen. Kinga, welcome.
Hello.
Now, you can already boast 2 publications. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And now your 3rd travel report, but the first book in English is out.
That's right.
India, Same Same But Different. Why such a funny and...
Subversive title?
Well, yes, funny, subversive, and confusing title.
Well, welcome to Asia. I remember it was in Vietnam. It was in Vietnam, in Sapa, that I came across the phrase same, same for the first time. I was snooping around stalls filled with beautiful hand-embroidered skirts and dresses. And then the saleswoman came up and she called me and she showed me one. But she saw that it wasn't really my style, so she began to take down more from the hooks that she had at the top. And she said, hello, same, same. She stuck 2 skirts right in my face, you know, right? And there wouldn't have been nothing extraordinary about it if they had not been completely, guess what? No. Different.
What
they were completely different.
What a surprise.
Not anymore, but at that time, as I was new to Asia, it was. Anyway, in no way did my teaching nature allow me to remain unresponsive to such an obvious mistake. Because mm-hmm. I thought she made a mistake. Same, 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 you know, she kept saying, trying to catch my attention. And the skirts, they were all different. They were all different skirts. Obviously, she didn't know what same meant, so I decided to put her right. So I said, not same, they are not the same, they are completely different. I specifically accentuated the last word so she could see the difference. And guess what she said?
No,
you
what?
Never guess.
What?
Yes, same, same. She she laughed and laughed, repeating it over and over again. Gosh.
Well, all I can say is your lesson turned out to be a total failure.
Apparently it did.
So you gave up?
Well, no, I gave in. Sometimes it's the best thing you can do, you know, when you travel. After all, what you can't change, you should accept and take the best out of it.
Very
right?
True.
Yeah.
And so how does this same, same, but different refer to India?
How does it refer? Well, I'd say in every sense. In every sense, really.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the book is about. From food, clothes, religion, to customs, habits, and people's mentality. Take vegetable dishes. They're all different, right? Sweet, spicy, sour, mild. You know, different ingredients, but all vegetarian.
Mm.
Then what else? Take religion. One religion, Hinduism, okay? And you have 2 different styles of architecture. In the north, you will see temples that feature shikaras. They are in the form of, I'd say, plain, quite modest cones. In the south, for a change, they are showcased by huge, monumental, colorful towers filled with all those gaudy, 3-dimensional figures of gods and goddesses, and they are coming out of the gate. This is incredible, completely different from what you see in the north, right? Mm-hmm. Take sari, traditional woman's outfit.
Right.
Okay. Again, a rainbow of colors, so many different patterns, and yet still the same way of tying the fabric around the hips and over the head and shoulders, you know. So what I absolutely love about traveling is observing how customs and habits may be different from province to province, but the mentality stays the same. You know, there will still be rubbish, bazaars, tuk-tuks everywhere, and obviously cows strolling around the cities. Oh, we are in India.
I knew this would happen. Cows could definitely not be missing.
Nope, no way. Not an option. Same, same, but different is the essence of Indianess, the essence of India.
So how would you describe India?
How would I describe India? You mean in one word? That's impossible. Can I use two?
Well, yes, whatever suits you.
Okay, then I'd say too much. But it's too much.
Too much of what?
Too much of everything. Too many homeless people, beggars and cripples, tuk-tuks, fumes, dust, noise, everywhere, right in your face. Mm. Too much rubbish, dirt, too much information. Or I should have said non-information, that I will come back to it later.
But I cannot wait.
Probably, yeah. In India, there are brothers, friends, touts, and talking heads. Everyone is your brother and your friend. Everyone stops you, grabs you, and wants something from you, you know, to sell you something. Even if you don't want to buy anything, mm-hmm. they still want to sell it. You know, unbelievable. The colors, smells, cows, goats, rats, and flies.
Oh, you flies? Know? Flies?
Yeah, you know, first of all, flies. Mm. In India, you see an excess of everything that could come to your mind, as well as that which you would never, never, ever have thought of if you had not left your safe zone, your safe haven. Your little world of comfort and gone to India. India is just like, it's just like, I'd always say, it's like poetry and prose on the pages of one book. On the pages of the Kama Sutra, let's say, you know, when the lovers decide to follow asceticism. Impossible! An absolute paradox, isn't it? In India, bluntness and magic intertwine. Miserable, ordinary things, you know, become fascinating.
And
you know?
And your attention is heightened by the infinity of diffused impressions. I remember I read that on the cover of your book.
Yeah,
it's very bipolar.
It is bipolar. And you know, one day someone selflessly pays for you at the doctor's, and on another they steal your shoes.
did you get yours stolen?
Well, I didn't, but my friend Isaac did.
Really?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, how it happened, you see, you'll find the answer in the last chapter of my book.
Of course, we wouldn't want you to spoil it for the readers.
That's right.
Now, you lived and worked in China for 3 years.
Correct.
It's crying out for a comparison with India.
Well, I know that it might sound ridiculous, but India, in some ways, is similar to China, you know. However, the intensity of impressions is 5 times bigger. The bazaars, urban mess, big gap between poor people, poverty, and luxury, the spiciness of the food, sugarcane juice available in the street everywhere. The same tuk-tuks and motorbikes, smog, people, you know, squatting everywhere. You know, Asia, same, you know.
True, but what is different then?
As I said, the intensity. Mm. Hindus take 3 times as many photos as the Chinese. Indian streets are 4 times, I would say, more crowded and polluted and littered. And socializing with the locals is a way more, 5 times more, well, intense, mm. you know. But there are much bigger differences between these two nations as well, obviously.
Well, what are those differences?
In India, I'd say that Hinduism shapes the social identity, whereas, you know, in China, the Cultural Revolution, it undermined the religious foundations. Mm. So So consequently, the focus of the Chinese on money and financial gains, you know, profit, would explain why, despite the fact that both countries nowadays, right, are among the most rapidly developing states in the world, as we know. Traveling around India, when you go to India and do some traveling, mm-hmm. you will find it hard to believe, really.
But how about this standard of living? Any similarities there?
Well, in terms of the living standard, India and China are beyond compare. They are beyond compare. Against the backdrop of shiny, glittering skyscrapers and upscale Chinese hotels and shopping malls, India seems, well, I'd say rather bland, you know, mm-hmm. along with its dumpsters and cattle roaming the public space, poor sanitation, decaying of services, service facilities, you name it. Mm-hmm. You see, in China, by contrast, the growing middle class constitutes the majority, but Indian streets are practically flooded by poverty, and everything is just falling apart before your eyes. The ramshackle booths, mm. stalls, slums with the peoples that who still live without basic facilities like running water and proper toilet. And of course, the most pitiful are the children. They come up to you calling, they see you and they call chocolate, pen, rupee, rupee, pen, chocolate, you know, these three words in random order.
Wow.
Incredible.
These three words only, I can understand chocolate and rupee, but why pen?
Why pen? That's something that I also wondered about, but never asked. I just figured, you know, that chocolate might be a sign of luxury, while a pen would be a sign of I would say, higher status, mm. maybe. Anyway, Indian children are born circus performers, that's for sure.
What do you mean?
I remember one day, it was really hot, like any other day in India, it's just boiling. Mm-hmm. And I was covered in sweat, walking along one of those Delhi's main streets, you know, avenues, when from a distance I saw a girl. She was about 5 years old.
Right.
She was dressed in those, you know, funny Alibaba pants and a choli, little top, mm-hmm. you know, and she approached me. She approached me doing somersaults and backflips, landing either on her hands or feet. It was just amazing. It was very impressive and I would say disarming, mm-hmm. you know. The girl called chocolate, pen, rupee. Again, these three words.
Really?
Yeah.
She approached you doing somersaults?
That's right, you know. But she wasn't alone. Nearby on the ground sat her brother. He was playing some instruments, the flute, I guess, and some tambourine, as far as I remember. And in front of him, he had his little, you know, worn out beanie to collect change. Mm. And then I saw their mom. I will never forget the look on her face. It expressed hopelessness. You know, her eyes were just pale, just empty. You know, like the hat, you know. People were passing by and nobody cared. She looked like she'd got used to this numbness, you know. She was basically non-existent, you know. There are too many people like her, so it's impossible to notice everybody, to help everyone. But I tossed a few rupees, you know, into the hat, and I guess I gave the girl an orange, you know.
Yeah. And begging doesn't happen in China?
If it doesn't happen in China, well, it does. It does happen, but not so often, and minus the entire show, obviously. It's beyond compare, really.
Any other differences?
Differences? Sure. Like Chinese miniskirts versus long Indian saris. What else? Stray rabbit dogs roaming Indian streets versus versus dogs that end up in cages in China or on your plate, oh. Right? Did you know that in China people keep dogs in cages? Did you know that?
Nope.
On the landing, right on the landing between floors.
No.
Well, they do, you know, and I'd say that except for picture perfect Chinese villages that are simply gorgeous, okay, where time has stopped, I'd simply say that China is gray and plastic, you know, and India is like, it's like an explosion of colors churning out of a clay pot. No, India is very spiritual, magical, you know.
Magical.
Yeah. Like puja. Do you know puja?
No.
Puja is a religious ceremony and it's very mystical. In Haridwar, from the waves of the Ganges, you know, the holy river.
Yes.
Chapels rise. They are simply charming. They are, you know, illuminated by the lights of their shrines, decorated with reeds and garlands. They appeal to everyone, not only to Hindus. I'm not religious, but I stood on the steps of the Ghats, absolutely spellbound.
Wow.
Absolutely spellbound. Hexagonal sanctuaries attracted both the religious and the curious. I was the curious one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw some of the women poured milk into the river, and men went in to wash away the evil karma, you know. So
the karma?
Yes, their sins.
Ah.
Many brought plastic bottles to fill them up with the holy water of the Ganges at the same time. It was very magical, very mystical. It was crowded, but in a good way, you know. So like the others, I bought a flower. There were hundreds of them sold by the river. Then I lit the small candle that was in it. I looked around and took off my shoes, following the Hindus, mm-hmm. you know. When in Rome, you know.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, and I stood on the last step of the Ghats to make a wish, a wish for good luck.
Yes,
you know, and I put my lotus flower on the surface of the river, and it was glowing. The river was glowing with candle lights. There were hundreds of flowers floating around, so romantic, so magical. You know,
it sounds amazing,
and yet. I must say, to chase the magic away and pull you down onto hard Indian soil, I can say that the biggest difference between China and India is the people. That's by far. The Chinese, you know, are quiet. Indians will talk your ear off straight away. There are a lot of story makers, and the biggest mistake you can make is to take an Indian seller's or tuk-tuk driver's word for it.
But is it not possible that not all Indians are like that? Generalizing is quite a risky thing to do.
Well, of course not all, and that is the catch. You know, in India, you'll meet, as you say, genuine people, genuine companions. And then you'll come across friends, you know, friends who will treat you like a checkbook, you know, like a walking ATM.
Right.
Or simple scammers who just share a phony story about how they've lost their documents and they cannot buy a train ticket to travel back home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in India, everyone collects money for something, and usually white tourists. Men become an easy target, you know, and all this, I guess, now here's the funny part. In spite of the national motto of the Republic of India, do you know what that is?
What is that?
What is the national motto? The motto is, only the truth prevails. How about that?
Okay, that's the national motto.
That's the national motto. I have been to around 30 countries and nowhere have I felt as confused and, you know, didn't know what is true and what is not, mm-hmm. as I did in India. Mm-hmm. Here, one day, someone pays for you, gets you a drink, you know, and on another...
They steal your shoes.
That's right. Or laundry.
Oh, my gosh.
I got my socks, you know, good trekking socks, pinched. Indian Wheel of Fortune, you know. Indian culture is very contradictory, bipolar, you can mm-hmm. safely say, which gave my book its title. That's why you'll never know what will happen next and how you should act, react, you know. Mm. It's hard to guess, hard to say who you can trust and who'll take advantage of your inexperience that you know, you know, that you're a tourist. Mm. In India, you'll end up either being overcharged for something or undercharged.
Undercharged?
That's right. Unbelievable, isn't it? But it did happen to me a few times. I remember I paid for a tuk-tuk ride and a haircut as much as I wanted.
That sounds unbelievable.
It does, but not necessarily is, not in India. In India, everything is possible. Mm-hmm. On the contrary, China is very predictable. In China, I'll give you an example, mm-hmm. a deodorant or a lotion, anything left in a shared bathroom, you know, in the hallway, will be waiting for you untouched, still in the same place where you left it, waiting for you till your next shower. You
know? Really?
Yes. Because, you see, for the Chinese, it's a dishonor to take someone's property. Because... in this way, they would show that they cannot afford to buy their own stuff. They would lose face, and they don't want it. So in China, being poor is shameful, and it's not only about taking someone's belongings, but also accepting a simple thing like even a gift or a tip. Did you know that if you leave a tip on a table in a restaurant, the waiter will run after you, shouting that you've forgotten your change.
How come?
You see? Unbelievable. But if you... it happens because if you don't come back again, he won't get a chance to compensate for it. Mm. You see? The Chinese would rather offer you things than accept what you give them. Indians will do the opposite. You see? They will do anything to get more money from you. Often they accost you and say, just, madam, I want to send my son to America. America, by the way, is a magic word. Magic word. I'm begging for 50 rupees. I'm begging for 50 rupees, as simple as that. So such a scenario wouldn't take place in China, even if a person couldn't afford it, couldn't make ends meet, mm-hmm. practically, you know.
But what do you mean by saying that the Chinese are afraid of losing face? Because I read in your book mm-hmm. that many of them attend to their physiological needs in the street.
Yes, yes, true. Children wear open pants, so they can do their business anytime, anywhere, practically. The Chinese are infamous for littering, spitting, smoking in elevators, on the buses, even in hospitals or at the movies.
At movie theaters?
Correct.
Wow.
I remember I went to the movies in China once, and I was watching the film, and suddenly I saw smoke and smelled cigarettes. I was so surprised, and it was not a 70 movie. It wasn't. If you thought that it could have been, nope. The man in front of me was smoking.
Gosh, that is hard to believe.
And hence the title, China Beyond Belief. Losing face refers mainly to financial status, uh-huh. and not the environment or the way you act, you know. And there's one more thing about this losing face mm-hmm. thing, you know.
Yes.
In India, if you try to ask a passerby how to get to a place by bus, he will tell you that there's no bus and that you should take a tuk-tuk. In China, the answer will be the same, but the reason is different.
What's the reason?
Well, the Chinese say mayo, that's Asian, no have,
right?
Which means that there's no bus. And they say so not because they want you to spend more money on a more costly taxi, but because they don't know which bus you should take and where to catch it. Mm-hmm. So this is another area, you know, where the Chinese are afraid of losing face, basically acknowledging the fact that they don't know something,
mm-hmm.
you know, you see.
I see. They don't want to look stupid.
No.
Thank you, Kinga, for being with us once again.
Pleasure.
This and more awaits you on the pages of India, Same Same But Different, a travel report by Kinga Litinska, a passionate traveler on the Asian continent who makes the road her destination. In our next episode, we will talk about birthers, good names, and why someone entering your toilet might be a godsend. Stay tuned. This has been Michelle de Gevaer talking with Kinga Litinska. To find out more about Kinga as a traveler and author, visit her on www.kinga-litinska.com, where you can find book excerpts, a quiz on Asian peculiarities, and also plenty of beautiful, realistic photos of people, food, architecture, nature, and fascinating places that she has visited in her travels around China, Russia, Central and Southeast Asia.